So this is November 14th, 2012, a meeting of the Main Gate District Design Review Committee. And the time is approximately 5:48 p.m. I'm going to be taking roll call at this point. Jan Cervelli?
Here.
Jim Chaffee, absent. Rick Gonzalez? Jane McCollum?
Here.
Bob Smith?
Here.
Tom Warren?
Here.
Matt Williams?
Here.
So we have a quorum of the Design Review Committee. The design professional is Rick Gonzalez. He has an associate, Richard Faye Tom, who will participate in the discussion. We've also, a decision of the Design Review Committee, with the concurrence of the applicant, is that Chris Gans will be an ex officio member of the committee. He's welcome to ask questions. Make comments, but he will not be a voting member of the committee. Okay? I'll make just a few opening comments, and then I'll turn it over to the applicant to start their presentation so we can move along efficiently. This is the number two on our agenda is 1011 North Tyndall Avenue, parcels 520A and 5240, on the northwest corner of Tyndall Avenue and First Street. It's a project named The Hub, and this is an action item for the Design Review Committee today. They are going to make a presentation. They are asking that the Design Review Committee consider a bulk reduction plan that's called out in the Main Gate Ordinance, and I believe you all have the Main Gate Ordinance document in front of you. And a bulk reduction plan allows them to shift the bulk reduction to the side that faces the historic contributing structures, bungalows on the west side, and have less bulk reduction on the east and south side where they would have been required to have bulk reduction. They also, as part of that, are asking for relief to allow the loading area to be positioned on First Street versus the alleyway on the west side, and that's related to their bulk reduction plan. So with that, at the end of this, at the end of their presentation and the discussion by the Design Review Committee, you'll be asked to take a vote. You know, so somebody will have to make a motion, and the motion, if it is for approval, would say that you approve the bulk reduction plan with this loading change in the loading to First Street. If you're not going to recommend approval, then you would have to give them instructions as to why they're not in compliance with some provision here and send them back to come back to you with a revision that would show them in compliance. That's pretty much how it works. I think I've covered all the basics of what is expected of you. Unless you have any questions of me, I'm going to turn it over to the applicant to begin their presentation. Yes, why don't you do that?
Carrie Sylvan, Lazarus Sylvan and Bangs, 4733 East Campbell Drive, representing the applicant. What I'm going to do really quickly is introduce the team so you know who's here. With the Four Campus Development Team is Mark Lipshin right behind me, Eric Graham, and David. Is David?
Not here.
David's not here. With the management team is Brian Nicewander? And Ben, who is not here, right? I'm Lazarus Sylvan and Bangs. The architect is Jeff with Antunovich. Our civil engineer is Grenier Engineering, and Jason Morris is here with us. Our landscape architect is Yvette Ensign with Ensign Design. Not on the list, but still very, very important, both of them, are Lisa Bowers, who is working with us, and Kurt Lewick as well, with Kurt Lewick and Associates. So I'm going to, what I want to do really quickly as far as an agenda is, first of all, thank you all very much for all of your time over the last few weeks. I know in addition to the meetings, we've had a lot of, there's been phone calls and discussions and a lot of time and attention spent on this, and we really appreciate all of the helpful feedback and the assistance. just to give you a rough agenda of where we're going to go with this presentation, I've been asked by a number of people to just give you a quick reminder of where we've been, how this project has kind of evolved over time. I'm going to outline the most recent recommendations that we've heard from all of you from the last DRC meeting and our meetings with you, and then turn it over to Jeff and the team to walk through their reactions and the changes that we've made in response to those recommendations so far. And then I'm going to come back and go through the hopefully not too painful process of just touching on a few things in the development and the development standards and how we're meeting them, because at the end of the day, that's what you guys need to decide. So I may do a faster job with that than you want me to. I have way more detail in here that I can go through. So if there are questions, if there are issues with specific provisions, whatever, I think I'm prepared to answer them. But we kind of want to get to the questions and hone in on the stuff that's important to you all. So with that, just a quick reminder as to the first, we never did a rendering of this. This was the very, very first plan that we took to staff. I'm not even sure any of you all saw this, but this oriented the predominant bulk reduction on First. And so it had a solid 130-foot wall on the west elevation. You all never even saw that, but if we're gonna go back in time, that was really the first. Go ahead. This is the second, which started all of our discussions. So the first thing we did after our meeting with staff was shift the predominant bulk reduction onto the west side and started all of our discussions and our meetings to get feedback. We heard loud and clear, and having read the ordinance, but really not, I think, entirely understanding the context and everybody telling us to go read the minutes, that we needed to really focus on that bulk reduction more substantially on the west side and really understand that this is, and I think we're there now, a transition property in the main gate overlay where we're going from some historic properties in the West University neighborhood and then transitioning onto the east side of our building for the areas that have more opportunity for height and density within the campus on that side. So, go ahead to the next. These were the recommendations that we addressed at the last meeting. Can you go back for just a minute? One of the things I want to point out was the pool was up in that northwest corner of the building, and we were asked as we were looking at the bulk reduction to move that to further away, acknowledging it's on the roof, which is up higher, but move it away someplace else in the building. Go ahead. So I'm going to run through these really quickly just with the slides to show you. This was the first modification, the change that we made that you saw the last time with the bulk reduction on this side of the building. Go ahead. Wait, stay up there. Sorry. The pool was moved up into the southwest, thank you, corner of the building. So we, in addition to bulking it back, we went ahead and moved that pool, which was a pretty substantial move requiring us to change staircases and other things. And I'm not saying that because we need any level of sympathy, just so that everybody understands that we really did a lot to kind of make that happen. We were asked to do some streetscapes and enhancements. We worked on the sidewalk widths. They currently, in this picture, they were and they currently are 16 feet wide on Tyndall and 20 feet wide on First. And we reworked the design at the corner to kind of activate that corner. And this building came all the way out, and what we did was kind of lopped that off a little bit. And you'll see some more changes to that in just a few minutes, and kind of tried to activate that corner. Go ahead. We worked on the plant palette and the pedestrian facade. We've been working to make the landscaping an integral part of the building and the pedestrian activity. And you'll hear in a few minutes, we're also going to be working with Campus Acquisitions and Marshall Foundation and potentially some people in the DRC on an actual landscape plant palette that brings some consistency into the area. And we're very comfortable with that. But we do have Yvette with us who understands all of the local context with plants that thrive and plants that fail in southern Arizona. We also talked about the, in our one of our original plans, we actually had this as the predominant retail, and then the parking garage opening over here. And the request was made to really think about the context of Tyndall, and with campus acquisitions going in right here, that this is really the area to activate the retail and activate the pedestrian area. And so we did that. So we put our leasing office kind of over here, and then moved the retail along in here with the parking garage access right here. We were asked to respond and have our management plan as well, and talk to you all about how we internally manage the building. And we provided, I think you all, individual copies, big honkers, of the, our management plan. We have one copy here tonight in case somebody needs to reference it. And during the presentation, we've talked to each of you about kind of some of the management issues as they've come up. As their questions, we're happy to answer them. We're not going to run through that very thick document, but we're, unless you want us to, but we're happy to answer any questions. The last thing that you asked us to do, or I guess second to, actually, can you go back one? Sorry. You also asked us to address parking drop-off and loading. We talked a lot about the parking. We are meeting, and we are still meeting, the main gate overlay district for parking. We're going to offer the zip car ability. We're working to find off-site parking if in fact more of our residents are planning on bringing cars. And you'll hear in a minute, actually, no, you won't, because we removed that. So I'm going to talk about that right now. One of the things that we have responded to since this is that we lease a year out. So one of the things that we're going to be doing is focusing on, I think, Chris, it was your suggestion at the call to the audience that we actually incentivize people to not bring their cars. And so we're discussing some financial incentives, and it goes along with the lead that we're doing with the building in kind of ensuring that we are incentivizing them to leave their cars wherever they're coming from. In addition to that, we are, when we lease a year out, we're going to be doing surveys of the students to get a sense of whether or not they're going to bring their car. And if we begin to see that we've got more than the people that we expect who are going to bring their car, we will then put our search for an off-site parking spot in full bore, probably contact campus acquisitions, see if they're experiencing the same thing, and then work on an off-site parking lot with safe transport to and from the parking lot. So we can manage all of that a year out easily and do those surveys. So that was a flash forward. I'm now going to stay flashing back. Actually, go back for a second. The loading area, and I'll talk to you a little bit more about this when I come back, is in this area. That's going to be predominantly for the retail. As I think you heard the last time, we manage our students coming in and out. They're scheduled, and they will predominantly load in the parking garage. We were asked whether or not the parking garage could handle moving trucks. These are fully furnished, so the students are not bringing any furniture, and Core Campus's experience is they're not showing up in moving trucks, but they would have the ability to use this if they needed to. And we also did and this was part of our last modifications, we did create a loading area there where there were some questions about sometimes the kids need to be dropped off with cabs or picked up in cabs, and there some of the other developments, there's not spots for the cabs to sit, so this is meant to be that. During move-in and move-out, this can also work as a space for people if they bring something that's too big to get in the parking garage. Okay, now then. The other thing, the last thing that you all asked for prior to the last hearing was a contextual plan with the rest of the main gate overlay district, or this portion of it. So this is what's currently out there, and then we were asked to go ahead and take a look at if the main gate overlay district were to be utilized in its full capacity, and we realize that's a big if. And we did not do a property-specific analysis of what are the chances of this. This is just if it were. This is the overall context for the main gate and how our building would fit within that. Okay, go ahead. So now we're at the present time. So during our October meeting with you all and then some of the individual meetings we've had, we've continued to have conversations and we've worked to address, to respond, and I'm going to turn this over to Jeff in just a minute to start that, but to just frame the discussion. The architectural context, you wanted us to focus on the surrounding architectural context, take a look at the surrounding residential as well as retail and commercial, and really try to bring that context into the building. And you will see when Jeff starts that we think we've accomplished that. We hope you do too. On the bulk reduction, we were asked to take a look at the building actually from Speedway, and particularly that northwest corner, and consider chunking out one more step back, which we have done. And you will see that in a minute. Work on the architectural features on First and Tyndall, and the discussion was predominantly to reduce the monolithic feel of the building. You asked us to focus on the pedestrian experience, add local architectural features and enhance it, and then take a look at the rest of the building and see if architecturally we could reduce that monolithic feel, capping the roof, doing some things with the architecture and the colors to kind of break up the building. Landscaping, you wanted us to ensure that we were coordinating with the local landscape architect and not putting the Chicago-looking greenery that was on there in our first few renderings. Sorry, guys. I was born there, if it makes any difference. And then we, as I said before, we're going to be coordinating plant palettes and working on another whole context for the plantings in the overlay district. You asked us to provide additional perspectives of the buildings, show more renderings of the streetscapes, what the building looks like from across the street from Wuna, and to see that context. And yesterday, Matt and I had a conversation too, and you'll see these. We were asked to do the elevation straight on, just two-dimensional elevations from all four sides of the buildings. And I think when Matt called me at 1 o'clock, my response was, oh, these guys are going to kill me when I call them and tell them they have to do it. And I'm not sure we can do it, but they did. And they're in the presentation, so we were able to provide those for you all as well. Sustainability LEED, we had always been intending to do a silver LEED building. We didn't highlight that the last time. We have the LEED checklist for you all to see, and we are aiming for silver LEED, and we will be promoting that, and that will be, too, part of our incentivization to keep, have kids keep their cars at home. The management plan, there were just some, like I said, discrete questions on certain issues, particularly how we're managing the terraces and things like that, and we'll touch on those when we talk to you about the terrace elements and the balconies. But if there are any questions, these guys are here, and the large document is here as well. And then after Jeff kind of runs through all of that, I'm going to run you through the development standards as quickly as I can. So I'm going to turn it over to Jeff.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to really thank the DRC committee personally for the access that you provided to us. I believe that the project has dramatically improved as a result of your input, and I think that you'll see the results. Many of the comments that you're seeing have been incorporated into the design as we've gone along. It's really, truly a better building, in my opinion. There's a section in the zoning code, it's section C18G, which really talks about the context, and we really wanted to take that to heart. And we went and photographed buildings and elements in the neighborhood, and I think you can see with the massing, the way there's greenery on a lot of these buildings, the shapes, that we've really started to achieve that, some of the same things on the west side of the building, the transitional area of the building. The size and the scale of many of the massing elements are similar to what you see in many of these wonderful stucco buildings in the neighborhoods. The shapes and the sizes and the colors, it's something that we're trying to strive for. Even the little windows, you know, when these element like this, we have those sorts of elements in the building. So we've really tried to take to heart how that source side of the building relates to what happens in the neighborhood. And we feel that, you know, these are just some examples. There's many more, and it really does, to me, have a very similar feel to it. One interesting thing is you're doing one of these things, these PowerPoints, is that all the greenery we show, I look at these slides as I'm going through it today, and it's not on this particular drawing, so it'll be on future ones that you see as we're going through, but so don't think that we've decided to pull those things off the building. That's just, it looks good even without it, but it looks better with it on here. We also, relative to the context of the buildings, you know, the base of the building is retail, and this is what we're proposing, and we think it really fits in when you look at some of the elements, you know, along the university, the trellis elements, the sidewalks, the depth, the plant materials. We really felt that we have some great areas to work with and emulate and make ours feel like they belong. So we went to great extents to make that happen. We also looked very carefully at the masonry in many of the buildings, the neighboring retail buildings, but also the university buildings. And frankly, the university buildings have some really beautiful reds and brown bricks, and that's a brick color you'll see that in our sample board, which we'll pull out a little bit later. We use that as a model for the colors that we wanted to use. More, again, context with these buildings, and you know, here's our building that feels like it should be there already. When you look at it in relationship to really the best retail that's in the area, we feel that, you know, we're really taking advantage of many of the same kind of elements, the canopies, landscaping elements, you know, along here. It's very similar to what we're proposing in the field. So we feel that we've really gone to a great extent to make it feel like it's part of what's around us. Relative to the terraces, here's another example where our stuff isn't showing up in green, but this is a building in a region that shows how it's possible to really do lush landscaping on terraces, and really it's a result of using the right plant materials, using the right depth in soil, and using the right soil characteristics. And we're going to be much more sensitive than they were, frankly, with the plant materials we're using, because we want to use materials that don't require so much water, and we're going to do that. And those materials are going to thrive and look that wonderful on our building, and that's really... We think that this is just a great example of showing how these terraces can really just flower, no pun intended.
Where is that?
This is in Scottsdale. It's called Scottsdale's Camelback View, and it's a condominium building. It was built about 8 years ago. More views, similar elements of buildings that have great terrace elements, and we feel like we're going to be creating an element that and an elevation facing towards the west, which is going to feel terrific with the neighboring buildings. It's going to take a lot of the characteristics, and with this greenery that climbs up it, it's going to just feel like a soft, natural transition. We get to the bulk reduction here. We have Yvette's plant material shown along the side, and again, we're using materials that are going to really thrive and grow well here. But you're starting to see, this shows you the setbacks at 40 feet, 70 feet, 90 feet, 125 feet on this side. And we really feel it's a natural transition. This 40 feet is a natural height, and there's elements, I believe, in the zoning that started at 40 feet. So we're really focusing on that. And the massing and the setbacks, I think it's significant. And as we looked at it, we feel like we are on the right track. We step back even further along the north side of the building, and there's some other views where you can really see how dramatic that is. And this is an example here of how steeply these step back. And there's an additional transition that we were asked to consider, and we felt that it actually improved the building, so we implemented that also. This is an example before we made that additional change. This is at Speedway in Euclid. And go ahead and show the next one. And then we reduced it even more. And we really felt this was really the location as you're coming along Speedway where we felt it was so important that these setbacks really have a pronounced impact and effect on the way the building looks. And we feel it really does do that. It's really a striking side of the building. And it's interesting, it's facing in a way away from the streets, and it's probably as striking as it is on the other side. Another view, this is from the top. This area that where we take out additional mass is now going to be a study garden, and you can see the how spectacular the greenery is going to be on the side of the building. I think it's going to be an iconic building, you know, for people in the area when you see what's happening with the elements of this building and how much care has been taken into making it feel special. The other, I think, is important again, there's the 40 feet, 70 feet, 90 feet, 110 feet. One of the very important point when you see this view is from the face of the building at the alley to this setback here is 100 feet. So we're set back 100 feet from the alley, from some very sensitive areas in this building to where the setback is. And that's a significant drop at that location of the building. We think that's very important. But this was really, that element there seen from a distance, we felt had a great impact on the building.
Can you go back for just a minute? Just to add to, because this was asked, That top terrace is going to be intended to be a study terrace with fixed furniture.
Correct.
So that the kids can't, you know, go over and engage on the edges. The same thing, to the extent that any of those terraces are going to have little balconies, they're going to be the small balconies that are available in some of the other units.
You can barely see
that. You can barely see the areas. And then there's going to be vegetation and things that are going to physically keep the students from being able to engage with the edge of the terraces. There's going to be similar for the rooftop swimming pool. It's kind of hard to see on there, but the significant vegetation and planters that are going to keep the students from being able to engage with the edges.
Then we looked very carefully at what was happening at the retail streets at First and at Tyndall, and we've changed the materials at the base of the building from the last time that we had a meeting. To masonry, and that's the masonry that's similar to many of the things in the university as we were talking about. These elements carry around the building. We've also provided this seating area, very strong elements, setbacks within the corner of the building. One element I do want to point out, I believe Bob had mentioned, you know, if we're in a trial element up here, can we do something with a mesh? So we have a perforated panel that covers the top of that. It's another way of providing additional shading, and that also is, if something comes down, it'll stop there. So you'll see that in some of the samples for the materials we have.
It'll be decorated with
panels. Really, these are additional views that just show the impact with the trellis elements. We also have some lower elements, really, again, reinforce the shading. Depending on the time of the year, so these lower elements will provide and reinforce the shading taking place at the street. And these are these elements I was talking about. And really, we created with this, you know, step backs in the storefront, so as these are retailers, that emphasizes their entrance. You're going to also see many of the materials we're using are really based on local materials that are indigenous, and we really wanted to reinforce that. We'll see further when we look at the material board. Again, reinforcing the streetscape experience with the planters, really creating almost kind of with the elements above and the planters a room along the sidewalk. And we feel that there's a great deal of interest with the ins and outs that now are occurring above with the canopy elements, with the recesses at the entrances, and then, you know, the elements along the outside portion of the street with the planters. I think this gives a really strong feeling for what happens at this corner, how vibrant this can be with a shop. You imagine a wonderful restaurant, you know, at the corner with the outdoor seating. It is very wide. From back here to the corner, it's around 50 feet, so it's a really cavernous view of what's happening there. Also, when we looked at the building, and Mr. Tom had made some recommendations that we should really consider having stronger elements at the top of the building. So we changed the window rhythm there, made it more glassy, and we created a real top to the building. And as we looked at it, we saw that we had an opportunity to run these. Also, we've added these shading elements at the top. And we tie those in along, they kind of run in one direction at one elevation, run in another. We feel that it really added a dynamic quality to the building. And I think that this was a really important improvement in the building, and that was one of the recommendations that we absolutely agreed with and went along with. Another element that we started to look at was we kind of created a little bit of a juxtaposition with these windows, and we liked what it did to the surface of the building. And we also felt that it brought the building around to where this terrace was, and it felt like it all pulls that together even more. And you'll see some elements on the base of the building that we worked very hard on to try to bring that around the building, and I think that those were elements that really improved. You'll see as we get along to the back sides, we use this sort of juxtaposition we have with these windows as the model for how we carry around with the masonry and the stucco on the back sides of the building. Plant materials, we'd seen some of this before, but really the intent is to use indigenous plant materials that have low water consumption, but are still colorful and are going to really work well. We're going to work closely with campus acquisitions and with the Marshall Foundation so we can coordinate those materials. They may not be exactly the same, but they're going to be in a palette and a family that works together. So that's our intent, and we made a commitment that we're going to do that. The first built materials were the ones along the streetscape. We also are looking at other indigenous trees that would be up on the terrace elements, and we have a palette that we would use. Go ahead here. And then the same with other plant material, shrubs and ground covers. You know, the things kind of hanging off the building will be this rosemary, which will be a very important element as it kind of droops down, and then there'll be these other shrub elements that will be just above that. Then we're also looking at some other accent plants that would work on those terraces also, so that when you see from a distance, there's this wonderful flora of plant materials that are striking from a distance as well, you know, being seen above from the terraces. And again, this is the example of what you're seeing with the landscaping. I wanted to use this view, as I just mentioned, about the back of the building, where we started to take this rhythm with these windows and carry it around with a combination of brick and stucco. And in the sample board, I'll show you the colors that we're looking at there. Some additional perspectives. This is the drawings that Matt had asked for, and we're showing the west one first. These are really, they're really hypothetical in a way, because you never view the building like this. We've all seen the incredible variation in steps and setbacks that you see from this view, but you don't really pick it up as an elevation. But you do actually get to see a little bit of the context of the windows and how those things all work and how the terraces are stepping when you're looking straight up at it. And it really shows how much, in a way, in this elevation, you still see how much activity is going on even when you're looking at it in this kind of hypothetical view. This is from the north side. These are the steps that you see from the front and the offset. So again, if you don't really read that, as your eye sees it. That's why we really like to use three-dimensional renderings, because it really shows the building more than your eye will see it. Yeah, leave that there for a moment. This also shows this kind of juxtaposition with the windows, and it creates a little bit of a lively texture, we think, along the building. And we felt that it was really an improvement to having the windows kind of just stack up. These are these elements, again, along the base, kind of playing this. We looked at multiple colors with this, but it became really too busy. We felt that this was subtle, but it did create kind of a neat texture along the base. And you can see that those elements are playing along to the window tree, or the tree that I'm next stuck along the north and west sides of the building. Again, there is a lot of surface activity, even when you look at it like this, and I think when you get to see the ins and outs that are in the building, it really adds that much to it. So the three-dimensional views of it are much higher. And then the last one, this is in shadow. So these our renderings read that way. In fact, I think this is the little curve element of the Marshall Foundation across the street. But again, you see the variation in the windows and whatnot, and in the steps. This is along First Street. Some additional views, again, showing how we're dealing with this treatment along the back. And this is a nice view because it really gives you an idea at the base of the building, the relationship to the building next door. There seems like a natural step, you know, at a height that's, you know, not all that different. And then, you know, this is, we're losing a little bit of this here, but this is the difference in height where our first step appears. Additional view, this is along Tyndall, again, just showing the elements as we're planning up the building.
And that's the north elevation?
And that's the north elevation, right. Elevation looking into the courtyard from the west. And again, this shows, you know, this wonderful variety that takes place as that building steps back. One thing that when we talk about plant material and being concerned about things growing, we were showing some kind of things to grow up along the alley. But really, we're at the property line. We're not going to have the depth to do a proper planter to allow vine type material to grow here. We felt that it was going to fail, so we decided that that's an element we ought to remove. What you see here are grills that provide access to the transformers at the back of the building. So we feel that for an alley, masonry and this nice texture is still pretty good in that sort of location. We've also provided some views from the neighborhood. We felt that were really critical views that showed how the building would really feel when we're in the neighborhood to the west. So go ahead, Eric, for the first one. So this one, this is actually from the north along Tyndall and Speedway. This is the CA building and then our building in the background. There was a little bit of a juxtaposition, so there is some relief, which I think is a nice thing, as those two buildings relate to each other. from Speedway and First Street. There's actually an element here, like a steeple from this church that's in front. But again, I think you get to see the dynamic character of the building as you're moving along Speedway, and I think it gives you a good relationship. You know, it's not a good idea of what you're feeling there. The building, the CA building, is going to rise up another 30 feet, so 159 feet. So that will rise up well above. This is the deck, I believe, on the 13th floor right now. So the height of it is about, you can see where our building is going to end up. From First, and I think as you look down the street, you see that the impact of this building in the distance is really not that tremendous, in particular when you consider what you're looking at as you're rising up. It's with the plant material and the steps. I think it's important to really see it with the relationship of the street trees and things that exist presently, and it's going to get even better as the Marshall Foundation along here does a little bit more with the landscaping at that location. So next. At First and Second, you barely see this building, and in fact, if you stand at this corner, you don't see it at all. But we wanted to provide a realistic perspective, so we stepped back when we looked at this. But you're barely seeing the building at all, and that's really not all that far away. And it's as you go, another block into the neighborhood, you really don't see it at all. And then next, this is at University and First, and even standing back at that intersection, you can't even see the building. So I think the relationship and the height. Impact on the neighborhood is not all that great when you really step back and look at it. And we've walked with some of the design professionals, and I think everyone felt that. And we had the barometer of that existing building there where you really don't feel that building that much. And ours is only going to be better with the way it steps down and how much character it provides in that direction. We've also, as Carrie had mentioned, it's our intent to produce a LEED Silver building. Our LEED professional in our office has done a scorecard, and he feels like we're able to get 58 points, which puts us very solidly in the LEED Silver category. That's in our update in the package that we have, and you can look at those carefully if you want to look at how we're accumulating those points. But we feel that we'll be able to make LEED Silver pretty easily based on the building as it's designed. And this is really, some of the views you're going to see of the building. You know, we're going to have lighting that lights up the face of the building. We'll cut off so it doesn't spill over. But I think it's, when you see it in a view like this, and it's really dynamic, and that's part of the reason we really wanted to make this glassy corner, to really make this a powerful element that stands out, make it an iconic building, from both of the sides of the building. So I'm going to pass it back to Carrie in a moment. I just wanted to, for the materials and colors you've been seeing, I've found that earth tones are very difficult to really get right, and we started to look very carefully what the materials would really be, and the brick that we selected, again, is very close to the brick in some of the university buildings, and we use that and this native stone, that color, to really kind of drive everything else. So the one darker stucco color we have is very similar, almost exactly the same as that stone color. And we used that to climb up the building. We felt that it makes it really feel like it's part of the place. And then the alternate stucco color, again, a soft color, a transition color to the neighborhood. There's a lot of that color, including the Marshall Foundation buildings, which are very similar in that color. So we felt that was a really nice transition. And we had a little bit more, too much contrast, I think, as we were looking at it before. So we kind of, if we were over here contrast-wise, we brought it in here between those two stucco colors. And we think that it struck a very nice balance. A couple of the other elements that I think are important are, we'll probably have a bigger element for these perforated panels, but that is the element that would exist along the top of the canopy, and then also probably along the balconies that face towards the west. And I think one thing I'd like to reinforce, those balconies, the intent is to have those very high with perforated panels, so they're an enclosure, but you can see through them. But it really does create an enclosure that someone's not going to be able to get over. We would probably keep those panels up higher, maybe six feet. Probably 6 feet. So you're really keeping those people in those balcony areas. They're not going to be out in those terrace areas. They're going to have to go to a lot of trouble to get up to that location. So I think with that note, I'm going to pass it back to Carrie to go into the...
You want to move that maybe closer? It's kind of a bulky board, but pass it around. Do you guys want them to see the materials board closer?
Sure.
Just while I'm running through the boring stuff. So I think Jim indicated at the very beginning, I can't remember, we did, we have done one review through staff with our development package. Mm-hmm. And we've gotten some initial comments. We had a meeting today to walk through with the reviewers that gave the most substantive comments, and we can address everything. So our next submittal with the development package should be able to address all of the staff issues and demonstrate that we've met everything in the main gate overlay district, as well as where the zoning code comes on top of it.
If I could add, it's the opinion of staff. They're basically in substantive compliance. There's a few kind of things that we're still discussing, but they're not going to be out of compliance.
So and I'm not going to go through each of these, but the development standards on page 11 of the overlay district that talk about setbacks and all of that stuff, we meet. Most of them don't apply to us. We're not on Speedway. We're not on Euclid. But we do meet the 15-foot street front setback, which is the one that does apply. The parking requirements were required, one per dwelling unit and one space for 2,000 square feet of retail space. That results in a requirement of 92 parking spaces, and we're providing 98 of them. On the bicycle parking, we're required to provide both short-term and long-term. It turns out to be 53 each of short-term and long-term, so it's 106 biking, whatever, bicycle storage. We are going to be meeting that. We're working with staff right now on where all those can be located. There is an ability to do a shared biking program, and by that reduce your long-term parking, bicycle parking requirements. In our first submittal, we were using that. We're not going to need to use that. We've got enough space to provide within code, so we're going to be needing that. We're also meeting all of the location requirements for the various short-term and long-term parking. The building height, as you all know, this block these two properties, this property is permitted at 130 feet. Again, that Section D of the Main Gate Overlay District really has you all looking very closely at the bulk reduction, particularly on the west side, and I'm going to touch on that in just a minute. But one of the things that we did is, with all that bulk reduction in that center bulk reduction area, that third floor area, I asked the guys to do an average. What is the average height over the entire site? The average height over the entire site, which includes that center chunk that came out, is about 88 feet. Thank you. When you put the take the if you don't consider the chunk in that average, it's still 114 feet. So and I realize that's not the actual height, that's the average height, but when you think of this area, we just thought that was an interesting exercise. And I'm gonna talk to you about the bulk reduction in just a minute. The vehicular and pedestrian access, we meet the overlay district. City traffic has already approved. They're actually not one of the reviewers with any comments that we needed to address. The pedestrian access is off of First and Tyndall. The parking garage is off of First. We've met all the site triangles. Kurt has done our traffic impact analysis. It's required. It's been approved by the city, and he's able to answer any questions if you have any. The loading areas, and this I need to touch on for just a minute. It's actually in the land use code, not in the Main Gate Overlay District, that requires that you can't maneuver a loading area in a residential street unless you meet four criteria. And those four criteria are that the street is not on a city's major streets and routes map, which it's not. The street is not located on a residential street, and the street doesn't abut residential zone within the same block. The street can be used for only one loading area, and those are the four. So we meet three of the four. The fourth that the one that we don't meet is this property is actually zoned R3, which is a residential zone. And so we don't meet all four criteria. So in taking a look at the Main Gate Overlay District requirements, there is an ability to have relief from development standards if in fact it serves the purposes of the main gate overlay and the bulk reduction and things like that. So the bottom line is that if we've put in our request to staff for a minor modification of this particular development standard to allow us to locate that loading area where I showed you where it can maneuver onto First. That's because the only other alternative, since we don't have any property to the north, would be on the two streets, which you'd need this exception, or on the alley. The alley is only 15 feet wide, and it's directly adjacent to the bungalows that are over kind of a little bit further to the west, and the properties that the Marshall Foundation has. The sense was is that we didn't want to be maneuvering the loading area in the alley. And so as we spent all of our time dealing with the bulk reduction and that loading area fits in there, and staff has already acknowledged that we can make turning movements and we can maneuver within there, we've done the request that we need to under the main gate overlay district to allow the loading maneuvering in First. So as Jim talked about the approvals that that we're requesting tonight, one of them needs to be an acknowledgement that we've put in that request with city staff, and that it's in compliance with the main gate overlay district requirements. And I can, if that didn't make any sense, I can run through it again if you have questions. Parking structure compliance, we're complying with this section. We're required to screen the parking area from view. There were a number of times where we talked about the idea of putting some grading and some other things in there as architectural designs on that north and on the west elevations. And at the end of the day, we kept backing into, we have to completely screen the parking garage from view, so we did some different architectural things. Open space compliance, we exceed the open space requirements on this site by about 10,000 square feet. We're required to have 9,234 square feet of open space based on residential units and percentage of non-residential. And when you add in our rooftop pool, the third floor open space, the pedestrian areas along First and Tyndall that are not in the right-of-way, and the terraces and the study terrace, it adds up to 19,836 square feet of open space. So we've well exceeded that requirement. On the environmentally conscious design requirements, there are a list of 16 options, and we have to meet 5. We're meeting 8 as of right now. As we head toward LEED Silver, there's a few more of them that we may meet, but because we know we're going to meet these 8, 70% of the parking area is shaded, 70% of the pedestrian areas are shaded. We're providing the Energy Star or Cool Roof rated at the reflectivity and emissivity requirements in the code. We're using LED outdoor lighting of less than or equal to 3600 Kelvin to comply with the outdoor lighting code. We're providing shade for the short-term bike facilities and a green roof with at least 4 inches of growth. Medium low e-glass, which you'll see on the materials board, and implementing the car share program. So those are the 8 we're meeting as of today, and again, we're hoping to exceed that. We already talked about the landscaping. We're meeting all the requirements, including the specific irrigation and control measures that are in there. Sidewalks and site furnishings, we well exceed the sidewalk minimums. I think they're 5 feet. As I said before, we have 16 feet on one street, 20 feet on the other. I just can't remember which one is which right now. We have the outdoor seating, dining area, pedestrian furnishing, and we're working with the city right now on the temporary revocable easements that are required to locate a lot of those architectural and other elements in the right-of-way. We're meeting the shade requirement of 70% of the pedestrian areas. The on-site water mitigation provisions in the overlay district, we will meet. We're working toward active and passive rainwater harvesting for the vegetation on site. And we're designing the irrigation system with the central smart controls that are requested in the ordinance. Lighting, we're complying with the outdoor lighting code, the full cutoff. We've worked to integrate the lighting into the architecture as well and into the pedestrian areas. On the design standards, I know that we've worked through a lot of comments today from Rick on the specific section 19C design criteria. The one that I want to highlight is the bulk reduction, because that's the provision that really is this. What we're hoping for is an approval tonight, and then there's two additional elements that you all need to be focusing on. One is the loading area that I already talked about, and the other would be the bulk reduction. So the code, actually, the Main Gate Overlay District has a standard in it, which is 25% of the side of the building with 12-foot reliefs, in the bulk reduction. For First and Tyndall. The part of this property, as you all well know, that is important is the request that we focus on the west side and do more on the west side, acknowledging that the DRC then has some ability to allow us to not technically meet that 25% 12 feet on the two streets. So I just want to give you some numbers so you know how close we've come to even meeting him on Tyndall and First. On First Street, we are at 25% when you take 25% of the facade at a 3 to 5 foot. So we're not meeting the 12 foot in the amount of setback, but we're still meeting the 25% at a 3 to 5 foot. On Tyndall, and in addition, on the first street side, 8% of the facade, because the step backs affect First Street as well. So 8% of the facade is technically a full setback, a full relief. You can see through the end of the step. So on the portion that's not, am I making sense, or do you need to see the facade? Okay. On Tyndall, we are 22% relief at a 3 foot depth. On the west side, it's 100% relief, because you measure it from the second floor and above. So starting on the second floor, we are stepped back. The average step back, when you calculate it from west to east, is 59 feet. 69 feet. So it just gives you a sense that we really have done a lot on the west side, and I would make the argument that we're not asking for that much of an exception on First and Tyndall for the bulk reduction. I think we've done a lot with the architectural elements and the pedestrian engagement as well from our last meeting to kind of deal with that. Building materials, you have the materials for it. These guys worked really hard to kind of make sure that we were hitting the context and having the effect that that we want in mimicking what's going on around. The architectural elements, you can see a lot of them. We've used the balconies and the clear visual distinctions between the ground floor and the upper floors. And by the way, when I'm making those statements, those are directly from the Main Gate Overlay District. So I'm not just sitting here making an argument. I'm actually taking the text from the Main Gate Overlay District. The articulation provisions, we're complying, we're varying the street-facing facade, articulated the building facade between entrances and retail spaces, exterior patio. We've articulated the building where it's over 85 feet in length with both the intervening balconies and the change in colors. So even though that's really kind of required down more at the pedestrian level in this articulation provision, when you back away from the building, we think we've done a good job of carrying it forward throughout. The doors are required to be shaded at primary pedestrian entrances, clearly identifiable, safe, secure, accessible, and storefronts are incorporated into the architecture. I'm not going to flip back, but if we go back to the pedestrian level elevations that we showed, you can see that we've done a lot more of that, and I think that was one of the questions that that Matt discussed a lot at our last meeting. It looked all glass at the pedestrian level at our last meeting, and it was to create some of that relief. The windows are going to be low E and allow visual connection. There's a whole bunch of window size and proportionality language in here that I'm not going to read to you. Building facades. The Main Gate Overlay District has 9 criteria that they want us to meet at the building facade down at the pedestrian level, and you're supposed to meet 2 out of the 9 criteria. We are actually meeting 5 of the 9 criteria, and that includes distinctive architectural lighting elements. We're incorporating those into the pedestrian area, shade structure, changes to the building plane, such as indentations, textures, or accent materials, windows that provide 75% of visible light to be visible on each side of the window, window displays, or visible activity on the ground floor. So those are the provisions that I wanted to highlight. There's a lot more, and like I said, I can answer any questions. I did want to highlight one other thing that we've been talking to both Matt and Jim Chafee about as well, and that is an acknowledgement that there are a lot of traffic impacts that Luna is feeling right now, and other impacts from a lot of this development. And we are more than willing, and we've been working with Matt to talk about some priorities in the neighborhood to assist to mitigate some of these impacts. And I know that the City Transportation Department as well is concerned about that. And so that's going to be kind of an ongoing discussion as we move through the rest of this process and figuring out what we can do to assist the West University neighborhood. So with that, we are really excited about this project. We really think that it's come a long way, and in large part due to the time and the energy you all have given to give us feedback and give us suggestions. And thank you for your all of your work on this. And we are, because I have to, I'm a lawyer, so I have to conclude with what we want at the end of the meeting. What we're looking for this evening is an approval that you all feel that this does comply with the Main Gate Overlay District, that the acknowledgement on the loading, and I'm happy to answer any questions about that, and particularly the bulk reduction. And then just so you have a timing, what we would do then is move into our second round of the development package, which we're hopeful would be the last round. We are pretty confident we can address all staff's concerns and we'll be in compliance with the overlay district.
Okay, I guess it's time for if the committee wants to ask any questions or have any discussion, this is the time.
I have kind of a procedural question. So based on, you know, whatever the decision is tonight, they still have to submit like a full development package, is that correct? And therefore they would have to come back to us again to get approval, or this
no,
would be the
no, they're stage? Actually, at this stage in discussing this with the development review staff, they're in substantial compliance. There's a few issues that need to be kind of like firmed up, but they're not out of compliance.
Okay.
And we've already submitted the we're in the development package process. We don't have to. There's a couple different reviews, but we're already in that process. We've been in it for about 4 weeks.
What this group would do is it would confirm to staff that the presentations they've been making to us as far as how they're doing bulk reduction can be relied on now as they go forward.
How would then the elements that we're deciding on and this body then be reflected in the planning approval? I mean, what's sort of like the cross-referencing? I mean, is it just we've approved, and we've seen a lot of renderings, and we approve bulk reduction, and then that's all they, you know, then all the other elements are they, so I just want to know how those are included then, you know, all the material lists, you know, all this design, that review that we've done, how does that get included then into that final?
Well, whatever you approve, that package would then become part of the development review package, and any reviewer from that point on is using that material for their final review.
And you're saying as submitted?
Yeah.
Basically, as like we saw it tonight.
Right.
Would they be held to
these that.
Things?
Right.
It's not just the bulk reduction element or the loading element. There's a lot of other elements here. I mean, the roof overhang, things like that, how did those get involved, since, I mean, they're not, like, as far as I understand, they're not, like, in an active, plan form, correct, right now.
Normally how we have done this in the past, it's approved as presented.
Okay.
So all the materials that they have presented and given to us are what we are basing anything they do in the future on.
Okay.
So this palette here would be what is approved. if they come back to us and say, we'd like to change something, then we'd have to make the decision, does that need to go back to the Design Review Committee for a change?
Right.
Okay, so it be as approved as presented, materials they've presented, the renderings they've presented, all of that is part of the official documents on this project now.
I have a trite question. How many, it looked like there was a lot of concrete at the corner and so on the sidewalk, or is that a different material than concrete?
It'll be mostly brick cast concrete pavers alternating colors. So you're seeing lighter and darker.
So you won't be pouring any more than 10 contiguous square feet of concrete?
That's right. I mean, there's okay, specific criteria.
Which is in your design guidelines.
That's exactly.
Okay, yeah. Thanks.
Could you show the drop-off area again? The can you show a perspective of it?
Oh, sure.
There's a curb, is that right, from the street to the sidewalk?
It's not a rolling.
It's right there.
Go back.
You can see right there.
There's one that's
right there.
I think on the project across the street, the campus acquisitions, we requested that there be a rolled curb and maybe bollards that are removable. In other words, trying to make that not look so much as part of the street, mm-hmm. as much as the sidewalk, so that even the paving and so on might extend out. You don't have that hard curb there.
Right. The idea was in that that was going to be a textured concrete element in the street. But Jason, could we do that? Could we make that a rolled curb?
Definitely. We can make that a rolled curb, and we can also, the pullout area itself, make it a decorative concrete. Or, mm-hmm. You know,
just city. Make it look more of the sidewalk than the
yeah.
Sidewalk.
Understand, yeah.
So we like Kirsch all the time.
Yeah, on the Tyndall project, I think mm-hmm. we did a decorative concrete that more matched the sidewalk rather than the street.
Right.
I think we would need to put bollards there, considering the
if we do a rolled curb, you'd have to,
Okay. And if you could go back to that night perspective.
Sure.
I have some questions about the lighting on the building itself. We're a dark skies community, and if I'm seeing correct, I see a lot of uplighting.
Right. We would do cutoffs, so that's just the idea with that is just that it throws a bit of light on the building.
Just make sure it meets the requirements that are specified.
Absolutely.
For
and the pictures that we would use there would have, we could customize the baffles and to throw the light.
Okay.
They would be required to do that anyway. They can't, this doesn't allow them to override dark skies ordinance.
It's a part of our culture anyway, being a university involved astronomy and something we want astronomy to
Can you go to one of the renderings, just a daylight rendering, so we can see the overhang at the top? I just want to visually see that a little bit more. And maybe from the other corner.
There you go.
So is that the overhang that heads west along First Street? That's at that second tier down.
That's below the pool.
And right. that kind of continues. It's that same painted concrete with the painted metal detail at the edge.
Right.
And that just kind of continues along at the same
depth. That's right. And it continues to where the setback is back about 30 feet from the alley. So where it ends there, that's 30 feet back. And it stops right at that. At that point there, so I'm saying the steps and the steps and the steps, and that's where that element would stop.
Is all the metal being powder coated?
We have metal on the edge of these, and I'm not sure about the process. I'm not sure at this point if it's powder coated or if it's
really? Pardon me?
I'm not sure of the answer if it would be powder coated or not.
We do have challenges with rust on metal overhangs, and the dripping of the rust can be pretty damaging.
Yeah.
We also have challenges with keeping powder coated.
There's different ways of approaching that, though. It could be anodized and then painted.
Right.
So there's. That's what I'm saying. I'm just not sure. I'm not sure about
the different qualities of powder coating. Right.
What works?
Yeah.
We don't know.
I'll give you this.
The heat is amazing.
Sometimes stuff outside.
We like to use. Sometimes we use a stainless. Sometimes we use something that. We don't want to be up there painting some amounts of metal trim all the time either. We can't afford that
from an
operation standpoint.
So.
to follow up on what Matt was saying, I've asked that a link be provided to the renderings so that the public would have access to those drawings.
Oh, like a web.
And how they affect the project.
Essentially, we'll take that PowerPoint, which is these 91 pages, and we'll upload that to a, it's like over 60 megs, so we'll put that on an FTP site that and provide access, you know, directions and all that to get to it.
Yeah, go ahead.
I had some questions related to the traffic on First as we deal with approving a loading zone off of First. At rush hour, and I don't know who's here to answer that, but at rush hour, what is First like? I know Second is troublesome, but it's Second Street, not First Street. And I don't really know what First is like at rush hour, pulling on in that right lane going into Euclid. And
First is pretty busy. Yeah.
Is it going to interfere? Are there ways that the loading zone times can be restricted?
We can restrict the loading. With our retail tenants, we can restrict the loading times.
Yeah. We did that on the Marshall.
Put it in the lease.
Yeah, I think it's really important because I know as we are talking through the streetcar construction and changing traffic patterns this week, it's a little bit more difficult as we move through some of these places. And I think that you may find that you'll want to do that for a safety purpose.
We can work closely with you on the times to make more sense.
Yeah, also for your tenants.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's what I meant for safety purposes. For them.
Other stuff comes back at night.
Right.
Just sort of a comment, I guess, about the bulk reduction, and as we consider, you know, the bulk reduction, I'd like to think of, you know, what we're approving or not approving in terms of bulk reduction as, you know, more acknowledging, you know, the shift to the West End, and that there is, you know, a larger bulk reduction there, because I don't really feel like the, you know, the balconies on the other faces really meet you know, the essence of bulk reduction. And I don't just mean the depth, I just mean in terms of bulk reduction, I think of bulk and those are, you know, micro reductions. So I would rather consider that bulk reduction shift to the end than necessarily even acknowledging that the bulk reduction you know, of the balconies being you know, really meeting any part of what I consider to be the, you know, the bulk reduction intention of the document. And as well, the glass, I think, helps in the corner element. That I can see as contributing to, you know, the essence of bulk reduction, you know, being, you know, invisibly permeable. But it's just more of a, I just want to make sure what we're considering is a shift in the bulk reduction and not just the reduction, you know, based on, you know, what you've already done with balconies. So it's I'd look at it more as a shift to the end.
It's 22%.
That's what I'm not entirely sure if I'm understanding. Which
the idea of bulk reduction
yeah.
in this is that the bulk reduction has shifted. It's not a matter of that the bulk reduction you've already done on the other faces, which you're attributing to your balconies, you know, complying with the bulk reduction, you know, that's required in the document. I'm saying that I don't really feel that those do meet the requirements of the document, but that, you know, we're looking at this because you've done such a larger bulk reduction on the West End. That's really what we're considering in our bulk reduction, you know, assessment.
Okay, I guess my point would be that we're actually very close to meeting the bulk reduction, and balconies are actually listed as exactly one of those elements in the code that are permitted to do the relief of the bulk reduction. I mean, at the end of the day, it's your all decision on whether or not we've met that, but we are at the 22% on one side, the full 25%, plus 8% of the whole facade having some of the more of the bulk reduction, and where there's probably, it's more on the Tyndall side than anything else, where we're at 22%, not 25%, and the 3 feet instead of the instead of the 12 feet. So there's, I mean, I haven't been cagey about the fact that we are asking for some, you know, discretion to be exercised, and, you know, we may or may not have met it, but that's...
I think that in spirit, I would agree with Matt that the reason that I'm, you know, the huge input very strongly we gave at the beginning of this thing had to do with being sensitive to the west side. And it's the response that's really significant on the west side with major setbacks that has me thinking that this is meeting the intent of what we were trying to accomplish within, you know, within the rules of this location. And I think that the balconies and some of the reduction on the other sides are like maybe icing. You know, they do help to break up some of the mass and provide some relief, but for me, it's what's been done on the west side that really matters the most in my review and the way you responded to that. And I'll say that, you know, when we first saw your first version, I would have probably bet against us being here, you know, seeing what we're seeing now and feeling as positive as I do about the kind of response that you have. But I have to give you credit for having really addressed just about everything that we brought up and you know, seriously addressed it, not just window covering. And it's, to me, I think that from the really dramatic step backs on the west that we have, really in the big picture, you have accomplished a couple of important things. I think it is much more neighborly and sensitive to the whole neighborhood and to historic facilities than other approaches, and I think it also does provide from a distance a real softening of the buildup of mass and that occurs at this location that I think makes a big difference to as far as our overall image of this part of the community. And you know, there are a lot of other things that you have responded to as well that have to do with the streetscape and landscape and have to do with the way that you're handling the whole pedestrian area in the lower part of the building and, you know, moving the pool. I mean, there's a number of things that have been done that I appreciate as being real strong responses to the really serious problems that we had, I had at the very beginning. So thank you for that.
And just to qualify, the reason I'm saying that is because there are other potential projects that could come into this area, and I don't want it to be perceived that you know, a lot of little balconies are really going to be what this body wants to see in terms of bulk reduction. So, I mean, and I agree, but it's what you've done on the other end that really contributes to that. Mm-hmm. So, it's for the future projects that might be in this area that I make that statement primarily.
You know, Jim, what Matt's saying, if someone else came in a different part of the Main Gate District and we all disagreed, you know, we agreed with Matt's comments, just because we let 3% go here doesn't mean we have to let 3% go somewhere else. If that's a question to you, if there's a precedent.
No, not at all. The bulk reduction plan only applies to the Tyndall sub-area. Everybody else has to meet 25%, 50%, whatever.
Period.
And not only that, but 12-foot setbacks and step backs and things like that.
Right.
So all of those are going to apply. As Bob pointed out, the whole purpose of this is how did you address the west side, and did you move your bulk reduction effectively to the west side? Anything you're doing on the south side and the east side is more of how is it... fit into this area architecturally, and is it in a elevations that we find somewhat aesthetic and fitting into the mm-hmm. the general framework of the Main Gate.
You know, I would add also that I think that this is being a true transition block here. I think that the Tyndall side is appropriate to be high rise, to be more urban, to be we're creating something that reflects what's happening on the other side of the street, and it's a little urban, mini urban area, and that street I think is going to be really active, and I think that's the kind of environment that will attract and that we want to attract pedestrians to. Prefer to have the pedestrians here than wandering farther west or up and down Park or in other locations. I think this center of the block location is ideal for the urban kind of a response.
Yeah, I could not articulate better than you, Bob. My thoughts And you have been incredibly responsive, extraordinary. And to the extent of that west wing and asking you to lop off a little bit more so that, you know, I just don't think that you could ask for more response than that.
My biggest concern in regard to the treatment of the west step back was how I was going to relate to the historic context. And so I had asked for samples and how they would be tied into the building.
Right.
And I think you've done a wonderful job with that. You've shown proportion, mass, scale, in relation to different buildings in the neighborhood. And this one, it's really addressed that. I haven't been able to really see that up to this point. But specifically on that west step back and treatment of the bulk, that was the piece that seemed to be the most concern of the items I've seen. But I think it conforms well in this presentation.
And I just want to add, since I pushed really hard for the change on the back side, slower, it looks great. That's exactly what I was looking for, something that just broke up.
Yeah, we were happy with
and
how
it didn't have to be. Yeah.
We weren't
I wasn't
happy
asking
either.
For things that popped out or opened up. I was asking for, and I think that you did a great job.
You got the message across one and two. You put it in the context, it made sense finally, you know, and we got it. We didn't have it. I like what they did.
I do too. It's great.
So they got the proportions of the small windows in there, but not copying it. My biggest concern was that it didn't copy it. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel that. I feel that the intent of the masses are the form, the relationships of the windows, and it's a good response to the neighborhood in that respect.
I had a question too. I agree that we were talking about those terrace treatments. You know how you're going to be stepping them back, or actually create the terraces would be little smaller enclaves inside the
right.
Like a vegetated area. And then we're looking at the railing, or you know there are glass elements there. I didn't see. Maybe it's in the two dimensional elevation.
The overhead shows the
plan. The one that shows the overhead.
Yeah. So if you see them here, these are the terraces inset.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a railing.
So it's an open railing. It's not
open
that glass
railing. We're going to have it for maintenance and people that are out there for maintenance on the plantings and things like that. So those inset terraces are much smaller, and they have a 6-foot metal panel and a slab extended.
That perforated panels.
Bigger.
It'll be more open than that.
Probably more bigger holes,
but that kind
for
of
visibility purposes.
Go up 6 feet.
We took the glass out for a number of reasons. Right. One is you can see the vegetation, and number two,
reflectivity. There's lots of.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if that was some because we had talked about that and if that had been incorporated.
So. I don't think you'll even see those inset terraces from. The ground or
no, I just imagine
the rendering.
But the bottom line is that someone on that terrace cannot get up to the edge to where they can disturbance with anyone below.
And right. We probably could get without having this little railing here, but we felt from a safety standpoint, we ought to just have something there. We think we're keeping them closed in those other areas, but they are college students. So.
I just want to say, I think you guys did a great job on this, and you heard a lot of things that you said. My focus on this was just mostly the streetscape and the linkage back to the neighborhood, and I think you succeeded in that, especially changing materials out to a red brick material. I think that's just, I don't know, that streetscape now just feels like it belongs. Yeah. And also the one concern I had last time was the glass on 10 and First. I thought that was too massive. But now, I don't know what happened. Somehow it's working for me.
I think
they pulled out those
horizontal.
I think it's the overhang.
It's the overhang.
That was both the A's were recommending that we kind of finish the top of the building, and I think that has added a lot to it.
Yeah, and the top of the building, I think that's really helpful, especially as you walk away from the building. This allows it to kind of stop in the air.
Right. Jim? Mm-hmm. I make a motion that we accept it as presented, and including the First Street loading zone, but that no deliveries are allowed on First Street after 2 p.m. So it doesn't interfere with any traffic that might occur.
Can the deliveries pick back up later? Or what?
Usually
is that break point to
the Marshall building?
No, but Phoenix truck drivers don't. I think it's a recommendation.
It needs to be posted.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, can we have signs there?
Because we're pretty strict on the park and second.
Yeah, but they come in the middle of the night too.
That's what I mean. Wait till we open back up again.
Because they have to.
We do a no delivery time between
2 to 9.
Like
2 to 9. 2 to 9.
Yeah, that's going to get you away from the special event traffic.
Right. Okay.
Yes. I should look at Curtis. Sorry.
So what is it?
No deliveries from 2 to 9 p.m.
2 p.m. to 9 p.m.
And is there a specific finding that's needed for the bulk reduction, or is that, I just want to make sure.
I'm saying as before, but I will say whatever you want.
We could put a finding in that it meets the intent of the main gate ordinance and meets the intent of the bulk reduction.
Specifically D-4.B. Bulk reduction plan.
Right.
Does that include the management plan, particularly as it relates to the parking and the off-site accommodation?
That was presented.
I'm putting that in as includes the management plan as it refers to parking.
Yeah, I really want to make sure, I think they're doing the right things, but just to make sure that that there is an understanding that there still is a concern about the parking issues, and I think you're doing the right things, and I hope that you're correct, but with the numbers that you're projecting, but it's not the intent of the university to park your residents in our garage.
Well, how about if I modify my motion and say that as presented, you know, off-site parking, if needed, is required.
I agree with that.
Okay.
I have some concerns about the off-site parking. Is that, I mean, you talked about some mitigation of Western University as one of the elements, but if the off-site goes into other areas, which will be neighborhoods, and how will you work with those neighborhoods, if it's not Western University or if it's downtown, to mitigate some of the impact there? Because I know you're talking about a shuttle between this and the off-site parking, but it is then the impact in that, wherever that parking is going to be, will impact a neighborhood around that. So,
depending on where it is.
Parking would be up there.
Right. Yeah, you should probably give some input from traffic consultants and some kind of a report on that when you're choosing. If you have to.
If we have to. Lord.
So maybe like a parking overflow commitment with including neighborhood neighborhood response and mitigating neighborhood concerns.
Depending on where it is, because if it's on Speedway, I mean, and there's a couple of different properties. Some of them are not really in or near neighborhoods.
Could
so we're fine.
Says,
we're fine with that. I don't want. I just
no interference.
It could be any nearby neighborhood.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Could be. It's a big parcel on Speedway at 6.
Jim, can you make sure that the redesign of the entrance and the curb and the pavement is included?
I have a rolled curb with pull-out decorative concrete with bollards.
Rolled curb?
Rolled curb, pull-out.
Remember
pull-out
when we
decorative concrete.
Right, campus acquisition. That's in the plan right now, Carrie?
Another question, is it possible that access on First Street between the main gate district and Western University neighborhood can somehow be restricted, because I have a feeling a lot of traffic will be flowing back and forth on that Second Street is a little tougher in terms of getting through, but First Street is one area where we do we're experiencing quite a bit of traffic coming and going.
Are you saying across Euclid? Really?
Really?
I don't know how anybody gets across.
That's where that. Yeah,
that's
where
a lot in your hands to do.
Around that, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah, Campus Acquisition is going to build a roundabout one block in on First.
So is that what you're saying, just to kind of create it?
Right.
We have gotten a lot of complaints. We cut through traffic and families, just people, you know, on the street and walking or whatever, and that the traffic has been an issue, and people like the speed when they can. So
are you talking restriction like?
I'd rather see it not be able to cross between, because Euclid is a tough enough street to cross. Mm-hmm. That, you know,
I wouldn't try.
Yeah, I know, but you still can there.
Yeah,
and so. We're adding more and more density here and more potential for problems.
I'm not sure you want to put a kind of a very technical traffic engineering condition on this like that. And that may be something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, let's request and it's reviewed.
Yeah, okay, request to be reviewed is I think, better.
And Campus Acquisitions, Jim, is supposed to build a roundabout there, which will hold
it. Well, Carrie made a little bit of a commitment that she would work, her client would work with the neighborhood on mitigating helping introduce traffic calming into the West University.
Traffic or whatever.
We talked specifically about that. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. One of the concerns was that they don't know if this is going to be, if traffic's going to get better once these projects are online, mm-hmm. if the construction's causing it. So we'll continue to work with them, and if that's not the main issue in the end.
Well, and you know, sometimes mitigation is good for a while, and then it starts to disrupt flow because you're removing some of the mitigation that you thought would be helpful in the West University neighborhood as well.
I think what would be helpful is that the applicant works with the city and the neighborhood mm-hmm. on addressing mm-hmm. in a master plan way traffic calming in the West University neighborhood.
That's correct.
Okay, and that may go into the streetcar land use plan idea too. We're finding there are these supplemental strategies that are starting to emerge as the more we talk about it, and that may be one of them that we need to address as part of adjustments made around the main gate.
I appreciate their commitment to make that an ongoing discussion, because there's the neighborhood would probably like to, you know, have more input and discussion, you know, outside of mm-hmm. you know, my, you know, individual representation.
Jim, mm-hmm. don't you have a broader traffic study from Speedway to 6th and Park to Euclid that's a part of the streetcar study?
It is.
These kind of concerns could maybe be integrated into that. That way you're looking at all the land use changes.
Right, right, right.
Just this.
Right, exactly. That's kind of where I'm trying to get.
Is this the Parky
yes.
Planning Center?
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we don't know where we're getting all the money for to do all these things, but at least we need to know what they are that we need to be addressing.
A couple other things. Mm-hmm. Cab traffic, is it designed to come in and off Speedway for all these projects, but for this project? Because, you know, we get a lot of cut-through cab traffic on the district project and a southern part of our neighborhood, and it's not regulated. There's no creativity in how to get in and out the cabs into the area without going, you know, constantly through the neighborhood.
Here would be Park, Euclid, and Tyndall, right? Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pulling off of Euclid and then Park coming down first.
But there's just a lot of cab companies, and they're unregulated, and it's a difficult. The fact that they're unregulated in the city of Tucson is a difficult thing in order to have proper behavior of drivers, and that is. And the university has the luxury of being able to restrict right now, and we don't really have that luxury.
Because FAMA actually contracts with one cab company.
I don't know how.
and maybe perhaps this project can also come.
In essence, it ends up encouraging
better behavior.
It encourages better behavior by funneling cab traffic to a specific company. We had talked about this actually as a body in one of our
absolutely meetings. Campus acquisitions.
When we were talking about this project too. I think it was maybe I'm mixing them up a little bit, but the idea of contracting, but as well like indicating for students to go to a certain area like the Tyndall side for cab pickup. You have the pull out there, kind of directing your students as well. It's not just the cabs at that point. You're directing your students to that location.
And that's the reason we did it, was in large part because we started hearing about the taxi cab issues, I think in our meeting with you. And so as we looked at that side and did that pull out. So I think from a management perspective, we can encourage the students to
do. Just a recommendation, taking a look to see if you can either encourage or restrict or the use of fewer cab companies or one cab company is certainly better than a free-for-all.
Or we can certainly put all on.
That's all what we just ordering up whatever they come to first. Right.
We could have a preferred vendor.
Yeah,
I think that's great. Promoted,
we might be able to get some discounts.
Emails as part of the moving package and all those things. We can't stop with obviously go out, but we can certainly come up with.
We have actually suggested a queue in one of the earlier projects of where they come in.
They came in.
Right. Control.
That's what we talked about.
Two other things. On the west streetscape on the alley, where I don't know what the name of the alley is there. I know you talked about that you've taken out some. There's not room for landscaping there to soften one the heat gain and heat radiation off there. Is there a possibility for a living green wall along that would actually be something a little bit more appealing to look at? Would also reduce some of the heat factor from that area.
That's what we were proposing originally, and we just feel that at that alley, because we are at the zero lot lane, we don't have the depth to provide a proper planter. Okay. And also, it's in an alley, it just probably isn't going to thrive. It's just an location where we just feel it's not going to thrive, and we don't want to have dead vines on the side of the building. We did try to keep the colors lighter there, so it was more reflective than absorbed, although it is not a reflective material by nature, because it will be stucco and brick.
Just as a thought, and I'm just thinking out loud, might a darker color be better there to reduce the amount of reflectivity and the glare that would come from the western sun back towards the historic properties? I don't know. What do you guys think? The dark colors absorb a little more heat. The lighter colors reflects a little more light.
On the whole west side?
Yeah, that lower west side.
The lower 40 feet.
40 feet.
Maybe reverse your
maybe
colors.
Cause it to recede a little more darker, a little darker color rather than bring it forward with lighter colors.
These are the two colors we're looking at, right?
Right. They're not talking about flipping the material. They're talking about flipping the colors.
Yeah, but the narrows were brick or masonry.
Right.
So you can't.
I honestly don't know that. I mean, that's just don't know that it'll make that much of a difference with it being stucco. I mean, it's I think less than 15% difference in terms of the amount of
based on the color.
So the height.
The color has very little difference.
Well,
like
if
maybe
I'm
15%.
Not mistaken, the buildings to the west are white.
They are. The Marshall buildings are white.
White. Okay. They're cream.
Forget I mentioned it.
One very last thing for me, and I'm going to shut up because I don't have a load anyway. One of the things that does concern me, we do have one elderly property owner that's just to the west of you. She's been in the house since 1942. And to consider the idea of your company purchasing that property and allowing her to move away from this, because I have a feeling that the construction will adversely impact her health. It already does with the campus acquisitions project, and then that is, I believe, zoned in the main gate district for adaptive reuse. It can be a commercial set, or it could be your office, it could be whatever. But I would encourage you to look at ways of incorporating that into this, and giving her some relief in whatever time she has left on this planet. So.
Yeah, we'll commit to looking at it, for sure.
Jim, when I made this motion, I thought there might be a second and then discussion, parliamentary procedure.
Yeah,
there was discussion with no second.
Yeah.
I wasn't trying to cut it off. I was trying to induce the discussion.
Well, I can try to kind of go back and see if I've actually caught some of this stuff. And I don't know
the
if I have.
The motion part?
Yeah, I mean, it was sometimes hard to distinguish between what was the motion and what was discussion. So let me walk back over this and let's agree on what we think the motion is. Okay, first it was to accept as presented. And that included the First Street loading zone.
With restricted hours. Mm-hmm.
Okay, with deliveries restricted to between 2 p.m. and 9 p.m.
Restricted. From.
Restricted. Okay. Restricted. I'm sorry.
Delivery's
restricted.
Can I ask a practical question in this? Again, I'm coming back to practicality because we require this of our merchants, but because all the companies unfortunately come out of Phoenix, we don't have a lot of input. And at lunchtime, you don't really want people coming into the neighborhood either. There's a great deal of traffic, and so that 2 o'clock may. How is traffic at 3 o'clock?
There's not much traffic at
3 o'clock. Well, there's kind of two peaks. There's the students leaving, and then you got faculty and staff leaving.
Okay, and is the student
later.
Leaving at 3?
Yeah, students are typically earlier. They kind of stagger out in the afternoon. And they stagger around at night also.
So would 3 o'clock be an okay cut? Because I just feel like we're boxing you in, personally.
I think 3 o'clock would be fine for it. But, you know, the key is to get away from the employee peak hour. Mm-hmm. And I think also the special activity peak period, which is like 6 to 8 when people are coming to that area as well.
Right.
Find a parking spot and then go
to
the Centennial
Hall. 12 to 2, and then leaving.
So. And Jim, I worded it as restricted to no deliveries from 3 to 9.
Restricted no deliveries from...
Well,
no.
Just changed
from
it
three to nine.
Okay. We're so far so good. Okay. Let me see where I'm at now. Okay. The next item I have here is a redesign of the drop-off with a roll curb with decorative concrete and bollards.
Removable bollards.
Okay. So redesign of the drop-off area with decorative concrete and what we just said, removable bollards. Okay, the next point that I'm going to say the next point is to work with the neighborhood and the city on a traffic calming master plan. Is that too broad? Or is that, that's kind of what we said. Okay.
How about also campus acquisitions? I'm looking at Matt and Chris. I mean, everybody should be involved, right? You deal with one silo and then the other silo, you get trouble. Right.
Just a quick, does that need to be part of, I mean, we're going to do that moving forward. Does that need to be part of a motion?
No, because maybe what we could do is make the motion and a list of suggested actions or considerations, suggested considerations.
Okay, that's fine. Right.
Conditions.
Is that okay with the motion maker? If that's
yes, that's fine with me.
Okay, so
I just think we shouldn't have two silos going. We should have campus acquisitions and core.
As long as it provides a little more than just a suggestion.
Yes.
Right.
Implementation.
It could be to work with the city and other contributing partners or entities, including the neighborhood, right? And the neighborhood, please.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Not quite sure what I'm calling them yet, but it's anyway, a suggested elements or features. Or work with it. Okay. I think I got that one.
Call them conditions.
Well, their conditions now are part of the motion again. I'm not trying to lower them as suggestions. Not that they're not going to be done. It's just then we're going to get to the point of well, you can't get your permit because you know that kind of thing.
What do we call commitments?
Commitments. Okay.
Suggestions.
Okay. Like commitments.
I should probably check with my client before I throw stuff out.
Commitment is to look at.
Okay.
It's not that it has to be done.
Yeah, in that case, yes.
In that case.
Well, they're not connected with the permit, per se.
That's different.
Okay.
Right. Commitment's not connected with the permitting. Okay. Let's see. The part of that is a requested review of the First Street and Euclid intersection.
Can I go back because I think you missed some stuff on the motion.
Okay.
There was the meets the intent of the main gate ordinance and the bulk reduction plan, in particular B4B that Matt mentioned.
Right.
And the management, that this motion includes the management plan and specifically the off parking overflow in coordination with the neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Those, I understood that the motion was included those four additional elements and then everything else would be suggestions from there.
Right.
Okay.
Commitment.
Okay.
I'm already trying to back off. Just kidding. Because
you're getting the evil eye. It's boring into the back of your head.
Okay, so accept it as presented first. Let's see. Except as presented, then we talked about the First Street loading, and then we talked about what you mentioned, Karen, you're correct, is we put as a finding that it meets the main gate intent and also the bulk reduction plan intent. And then we got into commitments, and the commitments included a master plan for traffic calming, a review of the intersection of First and Euclid. Then let's see here. We talked about cab drop-offs.
You know what might work if both Campus Acquisitions and CORE committed to one or two cab companies that would follow the instructions, and there was an automatic phone in the lobby. So all you did is you just pick up the phone and it automatically rings, and you say, "I'd like a cab, taxi, come, blah blah blah."
Yeah, the problem is when they're coming home.
Oh, okay.
They can take whatever cab
they
want. Yeah,
but I was thinking that might, facilitate both of them, everybody.
Okay.
A commitment to have CORE Campus encourage the traffic on, cab traffic onto
Tyndall. Cab and Tyndall and a preferred vendor.
And a preferred vendor. I think those are probably going to be what we need.
Same thing.
Yeah, we can work with those guys limit to one or two, maybe two if that many.
Yeah.
Okay.
And with that, it would be encouraging your tenants to those locations and to those companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, just tell them that all cabs need to be picked up and dropped. I'm sure they're not allowed on this street.
Tell them that.
You tell them that, and they may.
Okay. I think between Carrie and I, we can figure out what you're talking about there. Okay. There was the cabs. The green wall's out. The darker colors are out. And that there's some commitment that you will look at ways of potentially purchasing the property of the one resident living on Euclid.
We'll take a look at it, yes.
Well, the one owner-occupied resident on...
Yeah, the
two owner-occupied.
This would be Judy Gray.
Yeah, that's important, to, I think, to
Euclid, and that's Judy Gray that right. we're talking about.
And what's
about.
The address, I think, is
okay. Okay. I think Judy Gray. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We know what you're talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. You've got that in notes.
Okay. So those are the commitments, and we got a fairly simple motion that is to accept as presented the First Street loading restricted deliveries from deliveries are restricted from you're restricted from delivering
right.
between 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. Ugh. And then the rest are commitments. And again, the commitment.
No, it's the bulk reduction. You must have
and the bulk reduction. And you're meeting the intent of the main gate and the bulk reduction. That's
and
the finding.
And the roll drop off.
Okay, and the rolled.
Those four things.
Drop off. Okay, I have it here. I just. Okay. I've scribbled this down. I'll get it all straight when I don't have to do it in real time like this.
Something I just thought of is that. The vegetation on the west end, do we need to have something that has them an ongoing maintenance to ensure that those vegetated terraces aren't going to be left to die or left fallow? They will be maintained, plants will be replaced as necessary if die-off occurs, things like that. I mean, just to make sure that we're committing to a green west end.
Live plants in the planters?
as presented. Yeah. That's what you mean, right?
Yeah.
As presented.
Now,
so
there's no dead plants in our presentation.
right.
There's no living ones either.
Well, it's on the record. It's on the record. It's as presented. They've shown vegetation there. Now they have to have vegetation there.
It has to be ongoing.
If they don't have vegetation and it's ongoing, then they would be not in compliance with their approval for the bulk reduction plan.
So they fall into non-compliance.
Right.
It's also a requirement in the development plan landscape.
Yeah.
Right. We have them on several issues too. We don't have. So what I'm saying is that's covered.
It's covered.
It's covered.
And that would also apply to the dark skies.
That's covered too. Right. Right.
And the
okay.
I accept the modifications. Is making okay. a motion. I don't okay. know if anyone seconds it.
I'll second the motion.
Okay. Okay. I guess then. Yeah, I guess. Do I say all in favor, or
yeah.
shall we just vote by person?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we start at this end of the table and.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Okay.
Okay.
It's unanimous and it's approved. So we'll finalize this and we'll send what it looks like, the final motion.
Each,
so that
the members
each of the motions.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So with that, I think we're done with that particular item. And then the only other item here we have is number 3. And we can do that fairly quickly, I think. And number 3 is discussion of Main Gate District streetscape policy. I think Jan, Tom, you both have brought this up as an issue, that we're starting to do this too incrementally. While there are standards in the Main Gate ordinance, they're mainly about sizes and broad areas, and we want to be a little bit more specific. I'm going to make a recommendation to you that we form a little subcommittee of a Marshall Foundation, a U of A, and a West University person, and we kind of discuss where we can go with this and what opportunities we have for doing something in the short term and the long term.
Matt, are you amenable to being on that? We were thinking about some common lighting, possibly a selection of trees, that's
spacing
certainly. And that type of thing, and then we actually right. We present it, and then we go up to Ernie to approve it.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing I would offer, if you don't want to be on it, then if there is like a landscape architect who's part of West University that you'd prefer
how
to represent,
how about we leave that relatively open? If I'm available mm-hmm. to do it, but there
absolutely.
Are a few.
Sure. Right.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay.
Other people
will go to you.
Okay.
But you can change.
Okay, great. So we have that done.
We'll do that.
So the last thing is a call to the audience or future agenda items. I don't think we have any future agenda items at this point. But call to the audience. Is there anybody in the audience that wants to speak? Good.
I would just like to thank the DRC for all their commitment to this project and all the time they not only put in at this juncture, but over the past several years. Thank you very much. And also thank Jim and the staff.
Okay, thank you. Okay. With that, is there a move to adjourn?
Adjourn.
Okay. Okay, great. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you all.
We'll see you.
To draft the term on this one.
What? I'll put something together.
Jennifer was in charge, but now she's being out with some of us.
Okay. Okay, one thing.
I think more of you are going to come out and put your bet on it.
Yeah.